Dumelang Thobela, hello, and welcome back to the SL Cabinet, your go-to weekly news wrap-up. My name is Kwena Mashale, and I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Nandine Tini.
Hi, guys.
Guys, you, as usual, we're missing Herman Malloy. He's out sick, but he will be back next time. It's a new year. Ngwagomosa, compliments of the new season, and ntonton. But let's get right into the news. First thing on our list is Andy Mthubi is the new NDPP. That is the National Director of the Public Prosecution Authority. And he takes over on the 1st of February, 2026. Now, this comes after vigorous candidate interviews that were done. But apparently, there was no one who was a suitable candidate, according to the advisory panel and as well as according to the president of the country, Cyril Ramaphosa.
And there were 18 or so applications. And the advisory panel informs me that none of those that were shortlisted could be appointed as the head of the NPA. So in the end, because of the shortness of the time, I then relied on what the Constitution empowers me as president to do. And it is for that reason that I decided to appoint Mthubi. Now, I've appointed a known figure, a person who is in the criminal justice system.
So now, Cyril Ramaphosa says that it was in his constitution to elect Mthubi, as he had the previous head, which is Shamila Batoe. Mm-hmm. And Shamila Batoe, I think she was the head of the NPA for 7 years and is coming to an end this year, and she's retiring. But now, obviously, again, going back to the constitution, he says it's in his power to do it because there was no other candidate, apparently. They did like 18 interviews, rigorous interviews. No one was suitable to lead the NPA. Now, this obviously means that Mthubi is going to leave the SIU, where he is actually the current head, and his COO is going to be replacing him, O. Leonard. So, just, Nandi, your first thoughts. Mthubi is leaving the SIU, is going to be joining the NPA. Reaction.
So, we know South Africa, we love reshuffling, but it's okay. It's okay. But yeah. Honestly, I think with his track record, man, it's a smart move for Ramaphosa to actually, select him and put him as the new NPA thingy. And I believe it's someone that we trust as South Africans. You also spoke yourself for it. I love him as the SCU.
Job.
He's been doing a good job. So it's just that transitioning that also gives us hope. And I just pray that even when he gets to that job and he gets people that are willing to assist him in getting all this unsolved, what, guys, because we are sitting with Zondo Commission, Madlanga on the way, and many others, the state capture and everything. I just hope he still continues being that man of integrity and whatever he is. I'm just hopeful on that part.
Yeah, I think I can agree with you because we were having this discussion really yesterday in the office that essentially Mthubi has been running a good firm hand within the SIU. Mm. He's been doing a fantastic work. The SIU does fantastic work with each case that they are given. And so you would obviously want to see that replicated with the NPA. It's the same thing that Ramaphosa himself said, that he says that I saw a good person. Mm-hmm. He's done a formidable job. He's very trustworthy in the public eye. He would probably do a good job go the NPA, and we really know that right now the NPA needs the good work that they can get.
Because I don't think people are that hopeful with our NPA. Cases go from being investigated to,
withdrawn out,
and then, I don't know, but let's just hope we're taking a different way.
I think 2025 was definitely not the year for the NPA. They were facing backlash after backlash after backlash. I think there was even the one with the, I can't remember who he was, but there was a case where, I think he's a Nigerian or a foreign national, where he was released. I can't remember. And then there was like these multiple cases where it's either something just happens and then the court says the charges have been whatever. So I think it will definitely be a good thing. I don't see a problem with it. Many people have come out to say that they support the move.
It's actually the first time. South Africans are very judgmental there's this transitioning. It's
It was very shocking. Everybody was agreeing, but obviously the DA.
DA, number one opponent.
The DA does not agree with the move, but everybody else seems to be in support of the matter. So, good luck to Mthubi. Yes. He definitely has a lot to clean up at the NPA. And good luck to Shamila Botoi's retirement, I guess. Yeah. And she also leaves She leaves the seat in a hot place. But you know what? We'll leave that to you guys. Next on our list is the United States. This is a lovely topic for everyone. In an essence that you can't stop talking about Donald Trump because you don't want to talk about him. But he's forcing in your you face to talk about him. But let's start with the most recent thing that just happened. So the U.S. And Coast Guard forces seized a Russian vessel that was carrying oil from Venezuela to Russia, obviously. Now, the U.S. says that this was because of the fact that it was intercepted because there was, they're saying there was mishiga-shiga happening, essentially. there's a formal word for it, but it's getting lost in my mind. But they're saying that it was the vessel was carrying quote-unquote dangerous, complicated, suspicious goods. And so they had to confiscate it, right? And the UK, the United Kingdom, has come out to say they are in support of the US because of this. And that it's their duty to make sure that the international waters are secure. I'm so sorry for that change of pursuit. But this obviously then comes after Trump's successful capture of the Venezuelan president, Nicolas Maduro, I hope I'm saying that right, as well as his wife, Celia Flores. And he says, and let's just take a look at that clip.
Late last night and early today, at my direction, the United States Armed Forces conducted an extraordinary military operation in the capital of Venezuela, overwhelming American military power, air, land, and sea, was used to launch a spectacular assault. And it was an assault like people have not seen since World War II. It was a force against a heavily fortified military fortress in the heart of Caracas to bring outlaw dictator Nicolas Maduro to justice. This was one of the most stunning, effective, and powerful displays of American military might and competence in American history.
And he says that, it was a successful capture with excellent power by the U.S. They did it all.
Saving the people.
Like je ne sais quoi, I think we can put it like that. So that thing, he wants to make sure people understand. He's the hero. He's saving the people. And he also then he goes on to say that the Venezuelan president, him and the wife are going to be facing charges of narco. Americans are so fascinating when it comes to their naming of things. Narco terrorism, something, or drug cartels or something like that. Something that has to do with drugs and drugs.
You know, Americans, they never forget themselves being the important people, the heroes, the savers. It has to always be Donald Trump who does things. Last year it was genocide. What happened with that? And now this time we are capturing Venezuela's president in the name of providing
freedom the people of Venezuela. While also pretending that the oil is not what you really want.
And he doesn't know that Putin is always hungry for war.
I think that's the worst. I think I was telling our colleague Tulani that I really am expecting, I want to see Putin's reaction. Because How do you steal his oil and then say that it's suspicious goods? I think they call it shape, size, something ships or something like that. But I don't understand that logic. And then move on to then blame the Venezuelan people and say that, no, it's because you guys are this, this, and this. You guys are under dictatorship. We're trying to save you. Who said we wanted your saving? Did we? There are real people that want saving, think, and you're out here pretending.
He should be focusing on his country, on his state, everything.
When, anyway, Derek Cole has come out to reject his claims, as well as the fact that the South African government has demanded the release of Maduro, but also saying that they have reached out to the United Nations Security Council to intervene. I want us to just understand. Okay, and then obviously on top of that, people asking Ramaphosa while he was at his golf tee off, by mind you, in Northwest, asking him whether or not South Africa faces the same possible
invasion
thing, right? He goes, no, there's no worry. They don't need to worry. We are not in a possibility of an invasion.
I think he sees himself as after not allowing to be bullied by whatever. I think he's the man. I'm like, the president I think I am. Yeah. He's just that.
Let's take a look at that clip.
No, I'm not worried about an invasion to South Africa, not at all. I think we are way far from anything like that. And in the end, the United States is an important country in the world, and we have always believed that any differences with whichever country, including the United States, needs to be discussed. We need to sit down and find solutions.
But just going back to the United Nations Council, I want to ask, guys, what does the United Nations do, Mar? By useful? No, it's a genuine ask, Nandi.
I think we've glorified them too much that we don't really know what, like, the usefulness that they're bringing to us or anyone else.
See the use. Like, you know, because when you trace it back, when you go back to the time near Ukraine and Russia, we go back to the Israel and Palestine. But they never do anything. Like, it's a thing of they just convene and discuss and say, yes, we condemn this, we condemn that. Oh, they love the word condemn.
Yeah, it's the releasing of statements.
The releasing of discussions. But it's like, what powers do you guys actually have to discipline people or to show people that you're not allowed to do that? I mean, Ramaphosa speaking about how the president doing that, he broke international law. Okay, who's going to hold him accountable to that international law?
I think they fear Trump a lot. I don't know what does he have. Like, they fear Trump and he knows it. That's the thing. The arrogance.
You think he knows it?
There's no way when you continue doing all these things.
I don't think it's arrogance. I think it's stupidity. Do you think it's arrogance? I don't think it's arrogance. I think it's very much wrong for me to call another state of head stupid. But then again, that lady went on to call our state of head. Cannot just say... Let's not discuss it. But my point is, I was talking to Tulani. Tulani's like, there must be people behind Trump who want all of this and they're just using Trump as a puppet. Because that's the only thing that makes sense for me as well. That Trump is a puppet because there's no way you are this
crazy. He's a usable, he's just a usable person. We know Vele, people don't like him, so we might as well just push him forward. Because, and he's going to do it anyway.
And he's going to do it anyway. True. True, but guys, free the president of Venezuela too and his wife, and that's like it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. There's no genocide. The guy is, I was about to call him orange, but sorry. Anyway, moving on. DJ Warris. That case is so sad. I was at court on Tuesday. His sister was there, Nicole. Yo, guys, she broke down. Oh my gosh, let's dive right in. Victor Majola, the suspect that was arrested in the DJ Warris case, appeared before the Johannesburg Magistrate Court. It was supposed to be a bail application, but it actually turned out to just be a confirming of residential address. And then after that, we left, right? But in that process, obviously, he's facing premeditated murder charges, basically meaning he's facing attempted murder, well, not attempted murder, but murder, mm-hmm. as well as conspiracy to commit murder. And while we're outside, Nicole Stock, Warwick Stock's sister, aka DJ Warris, spoke to the media, firstly about how she was shocked at the fact that it was a very quick and in and out process. She doesn't know much about the court rulings, but obviously it really was like a 5-minute process. Mm-hmm. And but she also spoke about how it was the first time they spent Christmas without him. And it was a thing of they expected the calls from him to be on some, "Hi guys, how are you guys doing? Just checking up on you." Let's take a look at that clip.
Wow, I think we were all expecting that call to say, "Are you home? You know, what's for lunch? What's happening?" And him coming in with the whirlwind, kissing everybody, hugging everybody. So yes, we missed him. We all missed him. Boys as well. A lot. We feel it. It's real, it's now becoming more real. You know, so the void is real. And the only thing that can actually fill that void is prayer, is God. Hence we reached out to a nation to roar with us in prayer, to stand with us in solidarity. I think that's important because right now we need God. We need Christ.
And so she breaks down. It's a very, I think it's a very sad, sad situation to explain to someone that you were going to see this person in Christmas. Because let's not lie, he died literally, I think, days before Christmas.
Was it the 16th?
The 16th of December. He dies just days before Christmas. And now, oring to the kids, especially to his kids. What, like, I think that's the worst part. How do you explain to the children what happened?
This is what happened. Like South Africa, you know, when I heard about the news, the first thing when I was speaking to a friend of mine was, we need to do something about these guns in South Africa. Everyone is trigger happy now. It's getting out of hand. And DJ Warris, I was not expecting. I know, like, people die, obviously, but I was not.
I also was not expecting that. And to think he was there, obviously, for security purposes. He was there to assist in the whole hijacked building process. And then now you have, oh my gosh, politicians. You have now politicians politicizing this murder.
Opportunist, Gwena. It's literally opportunist. It's not really about them, Tle. It's not about them. They failed to do this hijackings of buildings. And now they're coming. If I am elected, I know I'm going to help. I mean, it's not about
them. Someone died and you guys are using it as an opportunity to get AMA votes. We get it. The general local elections are around the corner, but... Aye, man, have dignity, man, and respect. Because you can't, like, I think I saw the Action SA people at the court. And I was like, you couldn't just come wearing normal clothes.
Why?
You had to wear your Action SA regalia. And, oh my gosh, and then proceed to tell people, we're going to have a press meeting outside. About what? And say what? And say what exactly are you going to say? What are you going to say? Because it really makes no sense to me that you are using someone's death as an opportunity to a means. It really, but you know what, politicians are evil. I understand. But it is what it is, man. It is what it is. We obviously hope. And also the thing, like the DJ Warris case, the police, guys, there are a lot of people who are speculating that this man is not the right one.
It's not that I'm part of the people, but this time frame that they usually give themselves, it's dangerous.
The whole will arrest by Monday.
By Monday, it's dangerous because what happened to the case Yalikon?
Don't remind me of that case. No, we don't even know where that is. Like the progress of that case, we don't know.
Because now it means you were too quick. Because I mean, someone gave you pressure. Monday, 3 days is enough. We need to arrest this person.
Doesn't make sense, guys.
And if it's not this guy, the person who murdered Warris is sitting and
this is why we need him to be in PM.
He needs to do something.
Because you cannot be influenced. This is why I say politicians. You cannot be influenced by AMA politicians trying to politicize certain cases. You cannot. It even was with the same case. Yeah, the police cops who were found drowned in that river.
Yes.
And then people were like, no, it's a conspiracy theory. No, they were murdered. Khantefa, they just ran off the road. But it's like you're so in a rush to declare and state things when you don't even know. Say we don't know. I think that's why I think we also had a discussion here. now the police has become too much in the media that they can't just be police anymore.
That's the problem. Like,
just be police. Say classified information. The Americans do it so nicely. Classified information.
I mean, we'll take it as journalists.
We'll, like,
as long as we see that there's just good reports and no one is arrested because there's a time frame, and then few months later, no, Victor, like, did not do it. Nothing. Even the
charges are dropped,
and now it's back to square one,
guys.
And who knows what to be quiet.
And I mean, it's a thing, like you said, now it gives a time frame for the people who actually shot DJ Warris to actually escape. And when you look at the CCTV footage, where is that guy in the CCTV footage? Like, apparently someone with dreadlocks.
By the way, did they arrest this guy?
But see, after vigorous, remember, and what's funny is that they took him in. They didn't arrest him where they took him. They took him in from Soweto, questioned him at the police station. They actually didn't only take him. They took two people. Two people from Soweto, questioned two people, arrested two people. Those two people go to court. NPA drops the charges of one at the people. Says not enough evidence to link this other person. This one is linked by a statement of the one that they dropped the charges. You must listen. This is where the defense lawyer comes and says, it does not make sense for you to say that this one, Victor Majolo, is the suspect when you essentially are using it as a statement from the one that, who she says, in my presence, she never wrote that statement. NPA.
Welcome to the end.
But I think, because even Nicole was like, I don't know if this is the person.
Because it's getting the family's hopes up. It's okay, there's something happening. But now, I'm sure they're like,
they're also suspicious. Guys, because the thing, there are cameras everywhere. The murder of this guy, of DJ Warris, was caught on camera. Three individuals. One person, and that one person does not, apparently everybody says, does not look at any of those people in the camera. But we are not here to run conspiracy theories. We're just here to give you guys the facts of what is said and what is not said. Remember, we're journalists. We're not conspiracy theorists. Thank you so much. Moving on. Hi, the border has been bordering. Give it to the border management and the SNDF. They have been doing, I don't want to praise them because people don't like praising the BMA for some reason. I will praise them, actually, guys. I like to think that with the capacity that they are given, I'm going to repeat that, with the capacity that they are given, and they're not a lot. Remember, they are very young. The BMA, the Border Management Authority, I think they're 3 years, 2 years old, 2 years old. But I think they're doing marvelous work with what they are given, the capacity they're giving. Mind you, South Africa's big, guys. We are a big country. There's many borders. And you have the ports. You have Lesotho. You have, like, guys, they're doing great. Eh? And for them to catch 1,000.
Yeah.
That video is insane. That video of the 1,172 Zimbabweans who are being mushed in a line out of the bushes is very wild to me, because guys, I think also most people don't understand that when I say, guys, South Africa is huge, it's vast, its landscape is vast. You cannot expect a group of BMA people who I think they're not even more than probably 10,000 personal staff to be able to manage the entire border. I get it when people say, no, we must then give them the SNDF. SNDF is not their jurisdiction. It's not really their jurisdiction. They're just there to assist. And in most cases, the SNDF is also under capacity. Like, there's so many problems that is like the government, like, it's not giving the necessities where it's supposed to be giving. So now you're expecting a group of people who are less than 10,000 to manage many borders where millions and millions of people are flowing through every day. And for them to catch 1,172 people in one day, guys, that's good. Can we just, like, I was about to say, can we clap for them? Okay, it's not that great, but
we were getting somewhere.
I mean, it's a big thing. And then you have Poppy. Hey, guys, Poppy my dear.
The Poppy my dear.
Limpopo yes. Premier Dr. Poppy Ramathuba, she also took to the ground, guys. She was busy doing the border management, not border, but she was with border management. Mm-hmm. She was also with like the other South African police authorities doing AMA operations as well. And during those operations, she also witnessed people being smuggled in. Let's take a look at one of those clips.
You are not appearing on the waiting list of those who have applied, but some of you have fraudulent papers. In your own county, you will not do that. You would expect me, when I visit your county, to respect the law. But you come here. You come here, we accommodate you, but you break the law. And when you break the law, and we get angry, you call us names. There is no way, even if I go to your house, I must respect your rules. But you guys come to South Africa, and you call us fools and all that. It's not right.
It's not right.
It's not right. You can't break. That's why they are arresting you. And unfortunately, today you find me here on the roadblock myself. So you will.
So in this one clip, she's speaking to an Ethiopian man. And this Ethiopian man says that he's come for a funeral. Man, you're already laughing. I haven't even told you the punchline. The man... The man says he applied for documentation. Poppy asks him, where's your documentation? Because the documentation that we have here is fraudulent. So when you apply, you still come. He says, yes, because I'm in the process. I'm in the waiting list. But we check the system. There's no waiting list.
So, Yana, Uri, the waiting list is the green light.
It's the green light. Guys, the audacity.
No, people, they don't respect our country. They don't.
Oh my gosh, guys, that video is insane. It's a very insane video. But I think, what's funny, we were talking about this in the morning, that when you bring in so many people and you're bringing them illegally, with what resources are these people going to be taking from? With what capacity? Because when you also look at the video with the 1,000 Zimbabweans, there are children there. School. All children are going to expected to be put in school because our constitution is so giving. Bless Mandela. It's so giving. And, it's going to be a thing of they need to go to school.
And we're going to have those unplaced, blah, blah, blah. And it's said that the people that are going to fall out of the schools would be South Africans, most of them. And then, Barangere, South Africa belongs to everyone.
Really. Yeah, I never got that statement. I don't know people who make that statement.
And honestly, I know the MMC of Human Settlement.
Yeah.
He also mentioned that if it was in his power, he was going to scrape that thing off. Because there's no way that South Africa can belong to everyone who lives in it. What about us? Like the citizens? It's guys, but the schools are opening. Just know that overcrowding.
I think overcrowding is something that, that thing you speak about overcrowding so many times that you get used to the talk of overcrowding. Mm. But now you in Gauteng already, you have 5,000 unplaced children. The Gauteng Department of Education is already saying schools are full. And then you want to bring in more kids. Why is that? And some parents have not even applied because there's still late applications that are still open even now, mind you.
Yeah, I think they're closing on the 30th.
Yeah, they're closing on the 30th. So you can still get your kids in, but I'm just know I'm judging. Because you had since last year to apply.
I don't get it with parents who are opting for late applications. But honestly, I have to give it to Steve. Those parents are those ones that now suddenly private schools are expensive. So now I'm like, hey, let me go back.
They didn't know private schools were expensive before?
That's the thing. I need to be in this economy.
Things change. Know that the Curro in Soweto is definitely different from the Curro in Thatchfield or
And then they'll start blaming the department. And
you see, when I was doing that briefing last year, and they were talking about how Vele. These schools, then they went on to further say they also the municipalities. I was shocked about that one. That's municipalities.
You like pointing fingers.
That's municipalities also bribe the schools, saying, if you build this road, we'll do this. We'll give you this bill or this this thing, this certificate that allows you to build the school. Guys, municipala, municipalities, please. Yeah. Anyway, let's move on. It's fine. Last one.
Yeah.
Guys, this one. Irobile Not me, but Bafana Bafana. Eish, drops out of AFCON. Husiyami, it's okay. What I'm really disappointed in is South Africa's reaction. But we'll get to that. Let's just bring you in. Bafana Bafana's 2024 AFCON journey ended very prematurely with a disappointed 2-1 loss to Cameroon. South Africa fails to convert multiple goal scoring opportunities, which I agree with. I think we did like, what, 7-8 shots? One out of 7-8 shots, but let's move on. And Hugo Broos, the coach, says they are also disappointed with the result of that match. Let's take a look at that clip.
Sorry. Yeah, what can I say? I think everyone is very disappointed and sad that we are eliminated today. I think we had the right plan, and everyone saw that in the first half. We had three open chances in the first half an hour. Normally the game has to be done then, but when you miss those chances in that level, you pay the bill later.
But I think what deeply disappoints me as a Patreon, that's the word, right? Patreon of South Africa, is the fact that none of you went to that airport.
No one was at the airport.
Except
our minister. Yes.
I must say, he showed up.
I'm glad that he showed up because those boys, shame.
Guys, did they really disappoint you that much?
I think South Africans were too harsh on them.
No, guys. I think you guys were really too harsh on them because it doesn't make sense. Because from my opinion, guys, Bafana Bafana have come a long way since South Africa.
They have come a long way. When around 16 last season, it was the
you guys leave them high and dry.
You know how people love soccer, ne? I want to genuinely hammer our colleagues. The frustration, the frustration in those people, and Janet going to extend, I couldn't sleep because I'm thinking about how they fumbled.
It's Herman. It's Herman after Cameroon scores one goal. Herman goes, we're climbing the bus.
Yeah,
it's not even the second
goal. I was watching it through their statuses throughout the way.
It was, guys. I think it was also bad in the sense that there's no way you did 7 shots and one goal. I was also disappointed there. But you know what? The Minister of Sports and Arts and Agriculture and Culture, Gayton McKenzie, said that, honestly, we can't blame Hugo Broos and that he should really keep his job, you know? Let's take a look at that clip.
Hugo Broos was leading us out of ICU. Now, one loss or one knockout of a competition, we're now saying we want to change him. For who and for what? Hugo Broos is going nowhere. We must stop that mentality of being planting a seed today and expecting an apple tree tomorrow. We must be patient. We are building here. This team is going places.
But yeah, I'm disappointed, Shem. Mackenzie, yeah, fella. And Shem, he says, no, I had to be there. I had to be there. Yeah, he had to be there. Ngamaka life was not there. But the rest of you, I'm disappointed. Did you see Twitter? People on Twitter were like, no, guys, no, let's go support them. Mama got to read the shamboko. Mama got to read the rocks. Guys, never met her. Guys, no.
But no, South Africans are too harsh. Yeah.
Guys, no. But must look to the future. They made it to the World Cup. Yeah.
And I just hope, I pray that they just move.
We're going, but nah, shame. They tried, shame. Bazamil, abafana. That's all for this week's news wrap-up. Remember that you can find our latest podcast, review, and subscribe for free on Simplecast, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube, or wherever you choose to get your products. You can find us or follow us on all social media platforms at Sowetan, and our producer is Demi Buzo. Don't forget, you can also have a listen to our other podcast, Sunday Times Politics Weekly, Taking the Rams by the Horns, Business Day spotlights the indigenous corner with Gogo Zipo and Deeply Rooted. Thank you so much for tuning in. Until next week, from me and Nandi. Bye.